Isaiah prophesied, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This child would be God incarnate, God with us, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But centuries pass by. Prophets continue to come and predict, but not the prophet as Moses had promised. And then there's 400 years. 400 years where God does not speak to his people at all. 400 years with no prophecy, no prophets. But in the fullness of time, the Apostle Paul tells us, some 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy, when everything on earth and in heaven was just right, Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, the city of David, where God has providentially, as we saw last week, brought Joseph and Mary. The announcement of this extraordinary event, this amazing birth, is made not to Augustus, the emperor of the Roman Empire, not to King Herod of Judea, surprisingly, not even to the chief priests and scribes and elders of Israel in Jerusalem. Instead, the announcement is made to a group of shepherds who are watching their flocks out in the hills around Bethlehem. The announcement of the birth of the king is made by heavenly angels to poor, humble, insignificant shepherds. In a way, this probably shouldn't surprise us, because down through history, shepherds have always been special to God. Think of Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, a shepherd who found favor with God. Or Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all shepherds, as God built his people through them. Moses was shepherding his flock in the wilderness when God spoke to him. Spoke to him in a burning bush, a bush that burned but was not consumed, and called him to serve him as the deliverer of his people from bondage. David was tending his flock when he was called to be anointed king of Israel. David rejoiced that the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus even gave himself the title Good Shepherd. Peter calls him the Chief Shepherd. Hebrews refers to Jesus as the Great Shepherd of the sheep. So how appropriate, how fitting it is that the announcement of the birth of the Good Shepherd should be made to a band of Bethlehem shepherds. Verse 9 tells us, suddenly an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. We're told that it was night. Picture the shepherds gathered around their fires, preparing a meal for the evening, getting ready for the duties of the night. Everything was ordinary. Just like the day before and the day before that. Nothing unusual was stirring. And their concern was the routine activity of protecting their flocks from the predators that would try to take advantage of the darkness. And suddenly, God broke into their lives unexpectedly, unusually, and the darkness was pierced by the glory of heaven itself. And the peace and the quiet of the night is shattered by an angel from heaven. Very possibly this angel was Gabriel. We're not told the name of the angel, but we do know that Gabriel was very busy in all the activities of the birth of Jesus. He appeared to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He'd appeared to Mary and apparently Joseph. This angel appears to the shepherds in the field, and there is a spectacular glory, a bright light that engulfs the shepherds. What follows is rather interesting. These rugged outdoorsmen, we're told, were filled with fear. Quite literally, it says that they feared with great fear. And yes, the word's mega. Megaphobia, actually. The heavenly glory that the shepherds saw was spectacular, and it was shocking in the darkness of the night, and it brought fear to their hearts. What's interesting here is the glory, the light, the radiance of the angels was only a reflective glory from this heavenly being. Can you imagine how the glory of God Himself would impact you? When Isaiah only had a vision of God's glory, Isaiah chapter 6, he feared for his life. Like the shepherds, great, great fear. And his response was, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." The holiness and the glory of God was overwhelming. Someday, every one of us will have to stand before a holy and a glorious God, who is, the scripture tells us, a consuming fire. And we will have to give an account for our lives, for even every idle word. That day will come suddenly. It will come unexpectedly, just like the angel to the shepherds. Paul says it will come like a thief in the night. But this angel, on this occasion, did not bring a message of judgment or of wrath to these humble shepherds. Rather, he brought a message of good news. In fact, the angel's first words were, "Fear not." Because, he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." That is what the coming of Jesus Christ was and is. Good news. Tidings of great joy. By the way, the word, two words in English, good tidings, is actually one word in Greek. It's a form of the word evangel. So we get evangelism from it. Evangel, good news. Good news of a Savior. The world's joy is so small and trivial, it's passing, quickly gone like a vapor, centered on trinkets, trinkets that are soon to be thrown away, pleasures that are quickly forgotten. But the joy of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is great. It's eternal. It's lasting joy that echoes down through the ages and for those who are in Christ for eternity. The cause of that joy, the angel says, is a special birth. We're all excited when a baby is born. It is great news and great excitement. But this birth was even more special. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The long wait by the righteous for that promised Messiah, for the prophet who would come, for the promised seed of Eve, that seed who would vanquish Satan, for a kinsman redeemer like Boaz, that wait was over. I have no doubt that these humble shepherds were among those righteous, anxiously awaiting, like Simeon and Anna, looking for the coming Messiah, because the date was at hand according to the prophet Daniel. To all those longing for the Messiah, the announcement of the birth of the Savior was not just good news, it was great news and cause for great joy. Just as the carol puts it, joy to the world. The Lord is come. The hope of the centuries, the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets are fulfilled in this baby. Jeremiah, his righteous branch of David, has come. The prophet Isaiah's root of Jesse is here. Emmanuel has been born, God with us. David's King of Glory is revealed. Haggai's desire of all nations is manifested. Zechariah's servant, the branch who shall rule, is born. The promised seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head is born of Mary this day in the city of David, and he is lying in a manger. It's interesting to note, not Jerusalem, Bethlehem. Yes, good tidings of great joy, a Savior is born. In the Old Testament, we see God coming to earth at various times in judgment. You remember after the fall, God met with Adam and Eve and judged them, punished them for their sin, and cast them out of the Garden of Eden. There was the destruction of the world through the flood. But God saved Noah. God came upon Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness in judgment with fire and brimstone from heaven. Later, there was the destruction of Jerusalem in 486 BC. There are times God comes in judgment. But this is not one of those times. Someday Jesus will come again. It's called his second coming. He will come in power and glory, the scriptures tell us. He'll come with an army of angels and the sound of trumpets, and he will come to judge the nations and all people. He will separate the sheep from the goats. But not now. The first advent, God has come to earth not to bring judgment, but to bring salvation. Jesus put it this way, that he had not come to judge, but to save, and to give his life a ransom for many. The angel says a Savior is born. That word Savior simply means deliverer or redeemer. In Luke 1:31, Gabriel informed Mary of the coming child she was to have and said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua. They both mean Jehovah is Savior. Later, Gabriel told Joseph that he was to name the son Jesus, the angel says, because he shall save his people from their sins. This is indeed good news. It is cause for joy because we need a Savior. For all have sinned, the scripture says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The condition of mankind since the fall has continually been that of sinfulness and rebellion against a holy, righteous God. Rebellion against our Creator, our Maker, our rightful Master and Lord. We have disdained. We have all sinned. We have willfully violated His commandments. We have even taken counsel together against Him, Psalm 2, and rejected His authority. That is why the coming of Christ is still cause for rejoicing. The reason to celebrate at Christmas is the good news that a Savior is born. A Redeemer has come. This child who was laid upon a wooden manger as an infant, as an adult, would be nailed to a wooden cross. And there he did the work of salvation, dying for sinners and purchasing our redemption with his very life. This Savior that is born, the angel says, is God himself, Christ the Lord. It echoes Mary's words in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Paul expresses this truth in anticipating Christ's second coming in Titus 2:13, says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The child born of Mary, this infant heralded by the angels, worshiped by the wise men, is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the prophet of Moses. He is the Lord of glory, Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And this Savior is none other than Christ. Christ is the New Testament word for the Old Testament Messiah. And both of them mean anointed one. In the Old Testament, the priests were anointed with oil to their office. Prophets were anointed of God to be his spokesman. The kings were anointed to their office and called the anointed of the Lord. But the anointed one, the prophesied Messiah, Christ, was understood as a designation of the great deliverer who had been promised by God down through the ages by the prophets. Jesus was not a self-appointed savior or teacher. He was chosen, ordained, and anointed by the Father himself to be an eternal prophet, priest, and king of his people. And he could truly say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He is the Christ. The Father authorized and sent Jesus to save sinners. Even as Jesus himself said, he did not come to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And this anointed Savior, Jesus, the Christ, is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. The angel says that this child is born, this Savior who has come, is the Lord himself. That word Lord is used in both the Greek Old Testament and New Testament for Jehovah. Jesus is the Lord God, the only true and living God. As Isaiah announces, the coming Messiah would be the eternal Father, the mighty God. And God sends his angels as messengers, and he manifests his glory to announce the birth of Jesus, the Lord of glory. This is the answer to how Jesus saves sinners. We do not look to a baby in a manger for our salvation. We look to the Lord of glory, who became flesh, who took on flesh and blood, took on humanity, took on our nature, and was nailed to the cross. The eternal God, through the virgin birth, took on humanity so that as our kinsman redeemer, he might save us from sin. This child that is born is Christ, the Lord of glory. He is Jesus, who is true God and true man. As the ancient Nicene Creed puts it, this Jesus, born of Mary, is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. A child is born, a son is given. If the angel Gabriel himself, with all his glory and power, as sinless and perfect as he was, if he should try to redeem us, he could not do so. He could not have borne the load of my sin alone, let alone the sin and punishment of all God's people. But if the infinite, almighty God himself, the Lord of glory, undertakes our salvation, the load of my guilt and the sin of all God's people of all time could be placed upon him, and such an infinite Savior could achieve our salvation. And just such a Savior was born in the city of David, Christ the Lord. Is he your Savior and your Lord? The world does not know what it is celebrating at Christmas time. It sings the popular carols containing immense biblical truth. It holds on to the symbols of Christmas, even the Christmas story. But there is no understanding for the true reason of the joy of Christmas. The God of creation, the Creator himself, became one of us. Christ, the Lord of glory, has taken on humanity. A Savior is born. The eternal Word was made flesh. So the world has a false and empty joy. It comes from temporary things, and it awakens in the morning with an aching emptiness, not knowing that there is cause for genuine, lasting joy, not in things, not in gifts, not even in special foods, but in a Redeemer who has come to bring salvation. We're told that the shepherds hurriedly went to Bethlehem. Notice their response to seeing Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 17. In verse 20, now, when they had seen him, that is the baby Jesus in a manger, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child by the angel. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. These humble shepherds, blessed by the angel's announcement, were filled with joy and praise to God because of what God had done. And they shared that good news. They shared the news and the announcement of the coming of a Savior. May you do the same. May you be filled with true and lasting joy as well, filled with joyful worship for the God of our salvation, because of all that He has accomplished in you through Christ, the incarnate Son of God. And may you, with the shepherds, joyfully proclaim to others the good news, the glad tidings of a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who came to save sinners. Is He your Savior today? Shall we pray? Our Father, we rejoice in such love. We cannot understand the love that You have shown to us in the giving of Your Son, Your only begotten Son, Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank You for Your love and salvation that is ours in Christ. Father, we pray that we might be filled with the joy that the shepherds experienced, because we know the Savior. We know and have and possess the good news of sins forgiven and a right relationship with the living God because of a Savior who died for us but rose again and is living and even now is seated at Your right hand. And may each one of us be prepared for that day when He comes again in power and in glory. Thank You. Thank You for this reminder of who Jesus, our Lord, is. Fill us with that joy, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.